Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, I was cycling in this afternoon and I was just waiting for one of the very slow gates to open outside RTE. And a woman who was crossing the road with, I presume, were her two grandchildren, said, "Can I have a word?" I said, "OK." So we had a bit of a chat, social distancing, obviously. And she said, "Would you do me a favour? When you get on the radio this afternoon, will you ask people to be nice to each other?" She said, "It's been brilliant over the last 3 months. People stopped to let me across the road, as it just happened. People who I don't know say hello to me." She said she was going for a walk with somebody recently. And I said, "Do you know all those people?" She says, "No, I don't know those people." She says, "Can you please ask people to continue the way they behaved over the last 3 months?" And I said, "That's a lovely thought, Jean. I will definitely say it on the radio. I hope it will resonate with people, but I don't know that it will." But that sort of brings us nicely on to today, because I'd say about 2 months ago, we said we'd devote a complete programme offering people the platform to say thank you to people who are getting them through the lockdown. We were inundated with emails and texts. We were flabbergasted by the amount of people who wanted to say thanks. Now, on that particular day, we got through a lot, but nowhere near the lot. So we decided we'd come back to it at a future date, and that future date is today. So the future is now. So what we've done is we've invited 32 people from all 32 counties to join us on a Zoom meeting. And I'm looking at their lovely faces and sitting rooms and kitchens and all sorts of things today. There they are, all 32. Hello, say hello. Yes, I'm going to... They're all waving there. I can't unmute them all. They're just all there. And the reason we did it on Zoom is this, I suppose twofold. Firstly, we can have 32 people on, which is difficult to do otherwise. The other thing is Zoom is now, and I am getting a real sense of community from just looking at the laptop in front of me here, and we have a big screen, and we're streaming this on rte.ie/Ray, so you can see the goings on. So there's a real sense already, before we even talk to one person, a real sense of community and a real sense that the people we're going to be meeting and talking to over the next 90 minutes or so, that they want to say thank you in a real way. Everybody has a little story. Everybody has been affected differently by the pandemic and the lockdown. And that's the case right across the country. So bear with us, because I think it's the first time a Zoom meeting has had all 32 counties on. It's definitely the first time we've attempted anything like this in RTE. So we'll go through it. We'll take our time. And if the line goes down, whatever, we'll play a song and then come back to it. So is everybody up for that? Everybody nods. Everybody's here. So I tell you where we'll go first. We'll go to Listowel in County Kerry, and we'll say hello to Michael Delan. How are you doing, Michael?
How are you?
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hello, Ray.
Good to talk to you, and good to see you as well. Michael, is this the first time you've used Zoom?
It is, yes.
Right. How's it going for you so far?
Great. I have good help here.
Yeah, you're good. Who set it up for you?
Stephen.
Right. Now, do you mind me sharing your age with everybody?
No, I do not, no.
Right, or do you tell them, sure, you tell them.
Facing my 90th.
Well done. 89 into the 90th.
89, yeah.
Into 90th. And back in 1975, you set up Meals on Wheels in Listowel.
Yeah, well, I was part of it, yes.
Yes, yeah. And little did you know back then that you'd be calling on their services all these years. How many years is it? 45 years on.
45 years on, yeah.
Tell us why and who was there back in 1975.
In 1975, Vincent de Paul.
Yeah.
I was at that time. I was president of the Vincent de Paul Society in Listowel.
Okay.
And we set up the daycare center in 1975, and I had the honor of officially opening the center with some others, of course.
Yeah.
The reason that we opened a daycare centre at all was that at that time, Bishop Eamon Casey, if you heard of him.
I did. Yes, I have.
Bishop of Kerry, Father Dermot Clifford, who later became the Archbishop of Cashel and Tipperary.
Right.
They launched a seminar on poverty in the store.
Okay.
And I attended it on behalf of Vincent de Paul.
Right.
And the feedback that I took to the VDP conference made us decide to start a daycare centre. So from scratch, we built a new daycare centre and started delivering Meals on Wheels. Yes.
Now, you're on today to say thank you to the Listowel Meals on Wheels. You get them delivered every day. So what do you get on a Monday now, for example, Michael?
Both myself and my wife get our dinner every day.
Good for you.
On a Monday, we get chickens.
Great.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Tuesday, we get bacon and cabbage.
Nice.
On Wednesdays, we get stews.
Right.
Thursdays, beef. And Fridays, fish.
Nice. Fish on a Friday, of course.
A menu every day and a different sweet every day.
Right.
Now, people going in and sitting down in the centre get a cup of tea and they get soup as well. But they don't bring soup out, you know, to be very awkward bringing soup out.
What's your wife's name, Michael?
Elish.
And the two of you are healthy now, are you?
Oh, thank God, yes. Yeah. Very healthy.
Okay.
She's 85, 84.
Right. You went for a younger woman at the time.
So, she was a home economics teacher, so I was always very well fed.
Right, okay. Well, listen, Michael, so you want to say thanks to the Meals on Wheels in Listowel, and you're the representative of County Kerry, so will you just say thanks on behalf of the people of County Kerry to everybody who got us through this? Would you, please?
Yeah. I suppose... going back, I did not really appreciate the significance of the Meals on Wheels until when I was delivering myself, until I had to use the service, which I'm using for the past about 12 months now.
Okay.
My wife found it difficult to continue cooking, and it's a terrific service, really. We don't have to go out shopping or anything.
Yeah.
So it's all brought to the door every day.
Okay.
And I want to thank, in particular, the people who have helped us down the years.
Okay.
We're depending quite a lot on volunteers for the delivery of the meals.
Okay. And we'll be talking to loads of people who will be thanking volunteers. Michael, you're going to stay with us because we have a big thank you at the end. But for the moment, Michael down Listowel, thank you. And we move across the country now. And into Leinster and to Wexford, and we should have Margaret Doyle, who's in Gorey in County Wexford. How are you doing, Margaret?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well. It's sunny Saturday today.
Is it sunny?
It's only beautiful today.
Right. Who would you like to thank, Margaret?
To be honest, Ray, before I even thank anybody, I'd like to sympathise with anybody who's been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, and our sympathies are expressed deeply to all those concerned.
Of course.
But in thanking people in particular, it's a wonderful occasion to be able to do so on behalf of the people of Wexford. And in particular, I myself, through my local GA club, Cranford Father O'Regan's, are involved with a group spearheaded by Michael Dwyer, Gorey Community Support Group, and the Redmond Hotel Group in Gorey, Tommy Redmond of the Ashdown Park Hotel. And since the middle of March until last Friday evening, the 19th of June, the hotel, with the support of the staff and the management and the volunteer drivers from sports clubs, from businesses around Gorey, supplied well over 8,000 meals free of charge every day, 7 days a week. And it's been a fabulous service because some of those people were exceptionally vulnerable and isolated on their own, who couldn't have anybody to help them because of the pandemic. And this idea stretched beyond Gorey Town and the surroundings of the villages and towns surrounding the area. And our thanks must go to Michael and to Tommy and all involved with this initiative. It's been fabulous. And the knock-on effect from that would be that a Meals on Wheels service, as well as other Meals on Wheels services that work in the town already, has now continued for well over 30 individuals who still require that service today.
Brilliant. And Margaret, before I let you go, there's obviously been a huge sense of community down there around Gorey.
It's been fabulous. In my village here in Cranford, the GA club, along with many other GA clubs around the county of Wexford, never mind the country of Ireland, have assisted and supported those in need. And we take our hats off to each and every one of those volunteers who have helped in any way. And in that sense, it's been a wonderful part to be part of. And we are so grateful to be able to assist others in need.
Okay, so a quick thank you from the people of Wexford, Margaret.
On behalf of the people of Wexford, if I can borrow Brendan O'Connor's words, we have never been more aware of those who have served us, those who protect us, who tend us when we are sick, who feed us, who bring our post, who staff our shops in difficult times. So now to be able to say thank you to all of you for your bravery, your selflessness, and what you are doing, particularly during this, has been so important. We recognise you and we say we love you and thank you.
Ah, that was lovely, Margaret. Thanks very much, Margaret. Thank you. Stay where you are. We'll talk to you at the end of the show. We have Magella up in Monaghan, and she's there, Castle Blaney. She says it's Big Tom Land. How are you doing, Magella?
I'm fine, Ray. How are you?
Good. Thanks for doing this today. You have the Northern Lights there in your virtual background on Zoom.
I was actually trying to show somebody how to do this earlier on, so I forgot to change it back.
Right. It looks great there. So you're sort of chiming in with Margaret as well about GAA and the brilliant work they've done throughout this lockdown.
I am indeed. Yeah, just to allude what Margaret has said, in Monaghan, we were very proactive during the whole pandemic. And I suppose our biggest initiative was delivering over 25,000 free meals, very, very kindly sponsored from Kerry Foods, which is based up in Carrickmacross in Monaghan. And Monaghan GAA, with their clubs, give a message to absolutely everybody in the county that we were here to help. Didn't matter if you're into GAA or not, we were here to help everybody. So with this, a massive initiative, we were able to deliver 25,000 meals through our clubs, and there was no better way to do that rather than the clubs in Monaghan. The club is the heart of the community, and if you didn't know anybody in the GAA, you certainly know them by now. Yeah. And I think what was unique about the project is that it broke isolation for a lot of people. People who are cocooning were delighted to see the knock on the door and the delivery of meals and a little bit of crack that the person was providing when they delivered the meals. So just through the clubs, they were absolutely phenomenal. And I suppose volunteerism, when it's in your blood, it's rolled up the sleeves, it's get on with the project. And certainly our clubs of Monaghan and the different groups that we work with, St. Vincent de Paul and the food banks of Monaghan, we certainly left no stone unturned. And we were absolutely delighted with the chance to help people who were experiencing difficulties.
That's great. And the GAA, it's the you know, a huge, an integral part of the fabric of every community out there. And they really stepped up to the plate during the lockdown, didn't they? Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it makes you more proud as a GAA person. You know, as I said, volunteer, if it's in your blood, you roll up your sleeves, you get on with the project in hand. But it did. It there was a sense of pride there as well. The clubs came to the 3 points in Monaghan that we had. We had Carrickmacross, we had Blackhill outside Castle Blaney, and we had Monaghan Harps. People came in their club colours to deliver the meals. And it was like a football fixture, really, when they come just to present their club and to help out. So absolutely, very, very proud GAA person. And a very, very proud Monaghan person to be involved
say
in it as well.
Thanks to them there, Magella. Say thanks publicly.
Thank you to everybody who helped out, particularly our clubs, and to the groups that helped us out delivering 25 meals to every single nook and cranny part of Monaghan. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Magella. And stay with us, and we'll talk to you at the end of the programme. That's Magella from Monaghan. Siobhan is representing County Dublin. So we go to Siobhan. How are you, Siobhan?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
It's been a tough couple of months for you, a few months.
Yes, it has. Yeah. This is certainly a different tone to the previous messages.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So right back at the beginning, Leo Varadkar came on March the 12th and said that the schools were going to be closed. And that, I suppose, for a lot of people, that was only a partial lockdown. But it sort of sent out a message that this was serious, didn't it, on March 12th?
Yeah, it's funny, Ray, from the time I heard of COVID, I just had a bad feeling about it. I think the reality of it hit me very quickly. And certainly because of Mum, from the first case that tested positive in Ireland, I went into lockdown.
Right. So your mum was the first positive case, was she?
No, but in February, I think it was.
Oh, yes,
February,
you're right. The first case. Yes. And what age was your mum, Siobhan?
She just turned 88.
Right. And were you living with her, or what was the story there?
No, mum lived on her own. She had a stroke the previous April. And through the excellent care of Vincent's in Donnybrook, was rehabilitated and insisted on going home and living on her own at home. It was her wish. And we had carers coming in. And, you know, I don't live very far from her, so I was out there a lot. And I actually just rescued a dog for her. Right. I went down to Limerick on the 9th of March because her own dog that I had taken care of had died on my watch.
Right.
So I had just come back from Limerick on the Monday night with Molly, the Bichon, for her. But unfortunately, mum only had 4 days with her.
Right.
So Molly is in her bed right behind me now, right then.
Well, a lovely connection with your mum, the dog.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I have to say, she's brought me great comfort.
Yeah. What was your mum's name?
Eileen O'Neill.
Okay. When did you get the word that your mum had COVID-19?
Ray, because I brought Molly to the house on Monday night, to mum's house, I was out in the house every day that week. And on the Thursday, we have a motorhome. And on the Thursday, we decided to take off for, it was the bank holiday. Well, it wasn't quite the bank holiday weekend, but we were making it our own bank holiday weekend. And I got a phone call on the Friday to say she'd been taken into Vincent's by ambulance. And obviously, I immediately got in contact with Vincent's, and I was told she had been put into isolation. I genuinely thought mum had had sepsis twice in the previous 12 months, and both sepsis attacks came on terribly quickly. This came on very suddenly also. And because she hadn't been in contact with anybody and hadn't left the house since mid-February, I was convinced it was another sepsis attack.
Right.
And when I got the phone call on the Sunday to say she had tested positive, I knew she was in big trouble. And it was going to take a miracle.
Yeah. And how long after that did she die then?
She died on the Wednesday.
Right. Sorry. Condolences. Sorry for your losses.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And your mum was the third person in Ireland too. And
she was the third person to die, the first from Vincent's.
Right. And how did you feel at the time? Because we were all coming to grips with, you know, I suppose it started over in China and it was a world away. And then it just got closer and closer. And, you know, you were tuning into the news and people became statistics very quickly, didn't they?
Well, I did my best on social media to make sure mum never did become a statistic.
Right.
And every single day, once we hear the latest figures, every single day since mum died, I have tweeted my condolences and sympathies to the people who've died today.
That's a lovely thing
to do.
There
are families.
Yes.
Yeah. They have friends. You know, they have neighbours.
Yeah.
It's horrific. It is so unlike... Like, my dad unfortunately died in equally traumatic circumstances, in that he was mountain walking and went missing up the mountains. We had to get search and rescue to find him.
Right.
Unfortunately, he'd had a heart attack. So I thought nothing would ever be as bad as the shock of that. But Ray, this is, it's incomparable.
Okay. Now, I know you're a private person and you wouldn't normally do something like this, but you decided you would because you wanted to say thanks. So you have the platform now, Siobhan.
Okay, so my thank you is to all the frontline heroes. My mum was the third person who died as a result of COVID-19 and the first in St. Vincent's. I want to thank everyone who saw her from admittance to A&E on Friday the 13th of March, to all the staff of St. Monica's Ward, especially to Dr. Neil, who facilitated my being with her for her final 20 hours. Nurse Linda, who was with me after she died on Wednesday the 18th of March, and also in the morgue. The morgue coordinator who talked me through the stages, the chaplain I bumped into at dawn, the undertaker who advised on mum's burial through a conference call, to the grave diggers who are experiencing for the first time the protocols involved in a COVID-19 burial. Yes, I want to thank everyone. Mum dying so early in these surreal times meant she set the bar for what was ahead for other families and hopefully made their families' journeys that bit easier. I am indebted to everyone.
Thank you, Siobhan. And again, commiserations.
Thank you.
And stay with us because we'll talk to you at the end. So we're giving people an opportunity to say thanks, people from all over the country. We have 32 people. I'm looking at them here on a Zoom meeting. And we're going to try to get to everybody between now and 4:30. But right now we have to take a quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And we're still open for a text today. Thank all the staff from Talla Hospital for great work and all the other people who work in the HSC. And I'm going to try my best and say hello whilst jogging is one of my things. And people seem to be happy with this and also I smile, which I think helps. So that's Dean Beaumont. So she's taken Jean's advice and continued to be nice to people after this lockdown. Okay, so that was Dublin, Siobhan in Dublin. We go to Galway now and to Marie Kennedy. How are you doing, Marie? Maria. Hello, Maria. Wait now, we'll just unmute you there. There you go. We have you there now.
Hiya.
I'm going to bring you up big screen there. How are you doing, Maria?
I'm grand, thank you. I feel a little bit of a cheat in speaking for Galway because I'm a blow-in to Galway. I contacted you to speak for Derry because that's my home county. But then I was asked to do for Galway and I've been living here in Galway for over 30 years. So maybe I'm not still a blow-in. I don't know.
Well, I suppose what you say is universal. It's not It's not county specific, is it?
No. We'll bring it all together.
Yes.
So bring the 32 together, yeah.
So you have nieces and nephews who are working on the front line, Maria?
Yes, I have. And I have a daughter as well that's working on the front line. I have nieces and nephews up in Derry and in England and then my daughter here in Galway who've been working on the front line.
Yeah.
So, yes, I was very conscious of them going out every day to work. But more than that as well, my husband needed to cocoon. So I cocooned with him. Of course, I couldn't go out and bring something into him if he was cocooning. And so I was very grateful, really, very conscious every day of going, listening to the news, really. And I was just so impressed, first of all, by Tony Houlihan and how he was very clear and great communication as telling us exactly what we needed to do. And then Leo Varadkar and... I'm not going to remember the Minister for Health.
Simon Harris, yeah.
Simon, telling us very clearly what had to be done. But then I was conscious of all the little people all over the country that were doing what they were told so that this thing, we were going to suppress it, that we were going to come out the other end.
Yeah.
So I was really conscious to that and very grateful to everybody because... Michael, my husband, and I were here for 13 weeks. I hadn't been in the shop for 13 weeks, which is incredible. My daughter and her husband were bringing us the shopping. Conscious also of all those people that were going out every morning and out working during the night to bring the food to the supermarkets, to Lunda's and to Joyce's yes. and to Aldi, so that we could be fed well. So, yes, you just, when you're cocooning at home, you're conscious of all of this going on. In many ways, I wanted to be part of it. But then when I sat down and thought about it, I thought, no, my responsibility here is to make sure that nothing is brought in okay. Michael. So,
and you want to say thank you to all of those people today.
I do indeed. Okay. I do indeed. I want to say thank you to the whole country, but also to the people of Athenry and Galway that have kept us safe. You know, by doing what they needed to do, really.
Okay.
Thank you to everyone.
Thanks, Maria. Thank you. Brian Johnson is up in Derry, and you've relations who work on the front line as well, Brian. Paddy Mallon would have been on a number of programmes, and he is your cousin, is he, Brian?
Hi, hi. Yeah, my.
Hello, Brian.
Dr. Paddy Mallon is my cousin.
Okay.
Well, his mother would have been my father's sister.
Okay.
And his mother and father are still alive. Been cocooning since before the lockdown because Dr. Paddy Mallon told them, no uncertain times, go out, Mummy, Daddy, just relax and we'll try and get somebody to get you some food.
Okay.
So my brother and I have been the ones who've been getting his parents their food the shops.
And you'd like to repeat?
Obviously, it's been interesting at the beginning, especially. Yeah. Okay. So his parents had to cocoon before pretty much everybody else because he said it's time for you to cocoon, mommy and daddy. And then they cocooned, and then my brother and I were the ones who went and did the shopping for them.
Great. Will you say thanks on behalf of the people of Derry for us, Brian?
Oh, well, of course, yeah. People in Derry have been thankful, and my niece is a radiographer in one of the hospitals in Belfast, and she's been working really hard as a radiographer as well. So it's brilliant, the health service helping us out, and isn't it amazing how big this COVID-19 has become?
It's
like something that hasn't happened for about 100 years or so.
Well, you're right there, since the flu of 1918. Brian, thanks very much. Stay with us. We'll be back to you at the end of the show. Reverend Eugene Griffin is in County Meath. Whereabouts in County Meath are you, Eugene?
Beautiful Dunboyne.
But
the parish actually it's a much wider place than just Dunboyne. We reach over from Ashbourne all the way over to Enfield and everywhere in between.
Okay.
So it's a lovely part of the world.
Are you conversant with Zoom? Yeah, you've done it before.
I am indeed. I've been living on Zoom really for the last 2 months. All the meetings that I would normally have had to go to, I've conducted on Zoom, and it's been an absolute eye-opener. 3 months ago, I didn't even know Zoom existed. Yeah. I thought it was just Skype.
Yeah.
And now I'm Zooming.
You're Zooming. Yeah. Now, you want to say thanks to funeral directors, Eugene.
Yeah. Listen, all of us at some stage in our lives, or probably in the future as well, have lost somebody. And it's a very difficult time, as Siobhan will tell you there a few moments ago, when our mum passed away. It's a time when emotions and everything are very close to the surface. And we're all Irish people. When a death occurs, we just flock to the house, be it clergy, friends, family, neighbours, you name it. And we go and we drink tea and we tell stories and we give one another hugs and we pray or whatever it is. We just be there for one another. And we haven't been able to do that really in the last 3 months. And it's a huge deficit, I think, in that. But one group of people that actually took on a tremendous burden on themselves have been funeral directors, because they were literally at the coalface at the worst possible time for families. And they dealt with mortuaries or crematoria, churches, families, you name it. And they were the glue in the whole process. When I couldn't be there, they were there for families. And I just want to say thank you to them, really.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. And a lot has been made of the fact that, you know, we do funerals really well. And unfortunately, as you said, the rug was pulled from beneath us on that. And then these people had to step in, funeral directors, and tell families that they could only have 10 people in the church. And that must have been hugely difficult.
It is very, very difficult because people don't understand. When somebody has died belong to you that you love, you're not thinking straight. Nobody is, really.
Yeah.
And telling them that they can only have 10 people there and that they have to be socially distant if they don't live in the same house is incredibly hard. Okay. And I totally acknowledge that.
And Eugene, are you back to services on Monday? Is that the deal?
Our first service will be Sunday week, the 5th of July.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Back in business.
Back in business. Eugene, thanks so much. Thank you.
Not at all. Thanks a million, Ray.
Yeah, stay with us. Francis Doyle is in Carlow. How are you doing, Francis? We'll get you there now. Francis in Carlow. You can still text us 51551 radio.rt.ie. And Anna May is on from Carlow. She says, thanks to all the people in Matter Private for wonderful care when I completed radiotherapy on 15th of June. They were brilliant, from screaming to the treatment area. That's Anna May there. How are you doing, Francis?
Very good, Ray. How are you?
Good. Whereabouts in Carlow are you?
So we're in Birth, County Carlow, Ray, and I think you once said in an interview that some of your best memories are the leafy green memories you had in Birth, County Carlow.
Did I say that?
You did.
Was that me?
A long time ago.
Right, there you go. Isn't it amazing to see inside all of these people's houses? You know, there's a lovely sense of an All-Ireland thing going on here, a real sense of community. And you, in your email, you've summed it all up here. So I think the best thing is that you read it out for people at home.
Okay, so when you did the call for someone from Carlow, I just wanted to represent people that lived an ordinary life in very extraordinary times. So thank you to my family for sustaining me. Thank you to our children for getting on board with it. Thank you to the teachers for adapting and seesaw apping and emailing me. Thank you to the musicians for sharing their music so freely. Thank you to David Williams for reading his books for Elevenses and to John Boyan for inspiring stories. Thank you to Zoom for my chats with friends. Thank you to WhatsApp for keeping lines open between the four corners of Ireland and beyond. Thank you to RTE for the homeschool hub done with crack. Thank you to the radio for being in the kitchen with us. It had our back. Thank you to the neighbours for their nods and chats at a distance. Thank you to the shop workers for keeping us fed. Thank you to Care Doc and Dr. Byrne, to Kathy, his secretary, on the phone. Thank you to the bin collectors there and on time. Thank you to the community volunteers and to the church online. Thank you to the virtual choirs and sing-alongs. Thank you to Creative Ireland's Cruinniún an Óg Day for the wolf poem that came out of my daughter's imagination. Thank you to waterways workers and those who keep our barrow walks and locality maintained. Thank you to all for keeping us the same.
Ah, that was lovely, Frances. Lovely. Who's at home? Who are the children who are watching RTE School Hub?
So I have Tom, who is in sixth class, and Anya, who is the big watcher. She's in fourth class, and she loved the hour where she went in and just felt part of the school community again, and it really sustained her. And it was very funny. I could hear her laughing and speaking Irish, singing, you know, from the other room. It was just wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for all those thank yous, Frances and Carlo.
You're welcome.
Now, we go right across the country from Carlow to County Mayo. And we should have Jerry there. He's not sort of on the mainland. He's out on Inishpickle Island, which is off Achill in County Mayo. How are you doing, Jeremy? Or Jerry?
Not too bad at all, yeah. Jerry, call me a pint if you like.
Will you tell us about Inishpickle before we start?
Biggle with a B.
Oh, Biggle, right, okay.
Inishpickle, it's a small island. It's situated, if you like, between Achill Island and Ballycroy.
Aha. And how do you get there, Jerry?
By Curragh, open boat.
And how many people live on the island?
Well, so the year round, about 16.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved here. Must be 30 years ago, there were about 45, 50, but they've all kind of whittled away.
Yeah. So, probably one of the safest places on the planet, was it, when it came to the pandemic?
Well, yeah, because very hard to get to, and if you do, you have plenty of fresh air on the way.
So, I would imagine no cases of COVID on Inishpickle.
No.
No.
Yeah.
So you want to thank somebody. It's obviously not the barbers.
Patty. I tell you who I really want to... Well, so many people, but the Westnet, the crowd that do the Wi-Fi, that supply the Wi-Fi, I think they're based in Castlebar. But only for them, we couldn't have this.
Yes.
You couldn't do Zoom. I couldn't keep in touch with their... All my family, like I'm in the, I've a lad over in New Zealand, and I've, you know, Dublin, I've been in England, all over the place. And, you know, just, it's such a marvellous thing, the Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi, there you go. I have to say, Jerry, when we put out the call for people to say thank you, I didn't expect that we'd have somebody saying thanks for the Wi-Fi. But yeah. it makes complete sense. It makes complete sense. Yeah. And who have you been keeping in touch with? So you have one in New Zealand, and where else?
I have a son and his partner and my grandson, one of my grandsons over there. Yeah. And they're doing well. Yeah. Everything's going fine with them. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
He was on. He WhatsApped me the other day, the young Farley, worried about the virus, how was the virus in Ireland. You know, it's still upsetting them, even though they're virus-free, you know.
But you should have told them I'm in the safest place on planet Earth, even safer than New Zealand. Yeah,
he knows that.
But thanks for that, Jerry, and stay on because we want everybody to say a thank you in unison at the end of the show. That's Jerry there, off the coast of County Mayo. Inland we go to Offaly, and we have Aoife Corcoran, who's sort of related. It's Wi-Fi related. Thank you. How are you doing, Aoife?
Not too bad, Ray. How are you keeping?
Good. Whereabouts in Offaly are you?
I'm from Coolderry, but I'm actually working down in Cork, so I'm not in Offaly right now.
Yes, and therein it comes the thank you, I suppose, because you've been separated from your loved ones and your friends.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of with Jerry on the Wi-Fi and thankful for that. But I suppose mine is a bit more specific to, I really just want to thank my family and my friends for keeping me sane throughout this experience, because they kept me active with quizzes and voice notes, and it was just tremendous, the support I kind of got from them, because at the moment I'm living alone, so it's not the easiest of times when you're on your own. Very grateful for all of them, and also to my mammy for sending me all my posts, because God forbid I'd miss a letter.
Thanks, mammy. So you work in a pharmaceuticals company down in Cork?
I do, yeah. I work for Janssen in Ringaskiddy.
Right.
So I'm a scientist there.
And you can't work from home, obviously. It's lab-related, is it?
Yeah, it is lab-related. So in the beginning, we weren't really sure whether we'd be on-site or not on-site, because we can kind of work it around and some activities can be suspended. So we were on-site in the beginning, and then we were all kind of sent home when we were working from home and just on-site when we needed to be. So it was kind of 1 or 2 days a week I needed to be on-site. So yeah. I couldn't really go home. And then I suppose when the lockdown was coming, I wasn't even sure if I was carrying COVID. So I didn't want to take the risk and going home and spreading it to family and friends, or then I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get back down for work in Cork, so it just made sense to stay here, and obviously didn't want to wreck my parents' heads by going home and annoying them for a couple of months.
Okay, so you kept in contact via Zoom quizzes, etc. Are you any good at the old quizzes?
Oh, we're dreadful.
Right.
Dreadful. I think we should all hang our heads in shame on how poor our general knowledge is, family and friends.
Right. So what's the story now? Because you were there with a group of friends in the house, right? You were a house share. Is it a house share?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's three of us in the house. So when, you know, it was inevitable that the lockdown was coming, one of the girls decided that she would go home to Kerry because she'd be able to work from home. And then the other girl said she'd stay with her boyfriend throughout it. So they kind of had escapes and they left. So I was kind of left to my own devices in the house.
Yeah.
So it was good, yeah. It's good to have the house, but it'll be hard to live with them when they come back.
yeah. So you better name the people back up in Offaly then.
Oh God, there's a fine list. So I'll just say thanks to Louise, who's hosting the next quiz. Everyone's welcome in Ireland. She'll send on the Zoom details. Marion, Emma, Aoife, Laura, Martin, Trevor, Alan, Stephen, Ashling, Trisha, Kira, Mammy, Daddy, and a big thank you to my best friends, Orla and Sinead, for waking me up every morning with a hilarious voice note.
Great. Okay, Aoife, stay with us because we're going to get the big thank you at the end of the show. Thanks for the moment. Somebody says, Carmel says, would you thank the deaf signers? They're unbelievable, and they did and do an amazing job, as I have a niece that uses the sign language. And of course, they were there ever present at the daily press conferences from the Department of Health. And could you give a big thank you to Mary Clark, our mum and dad's carer? We'd be lost without her. She's amazing, and we appreciate so much what she did for mum and dad. That's Marie and Joe Gleason, That's the, all the Gleeson family there. 51551, ray at rte.ie.
Text 51551, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're on an all-Ireland Zoom call. We're getting people from all over the country to say thank you to the people who got us through the lockdown. And we go up to Tyrone now, and Ailish there, Ailish Cullen and Kion. How you doing, Ailish?
Hiya, Ray.
Who's that with you?
So this is my daughter, Tess. She's 11 months, so she'll be making plenty of noise.
And Tess is part of the reason you want to get on and say thanks.
Yes, Tess. Tess has Down syndrome, and we are very lucky that she goes to the Child Development Clinic in Dungannon Hospital, which is nearby to us, for therapy every couple of weeks. Obviously, then with COVID, all services had to stop, but our therapists are fantastic and have been keeping in touch via telephone so that we could keep on working with Tess, which is just amazing.
And Tess is very doty. She's very doty there.
She's so funny. She really is.
And I'm sure they'll appreciate it that you got on and made a very public thank you there. So it's all the OT and physio at the Child Development Clinic in Dungannon Hospital. Thanks, Ailish. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
And to Louth and to Catherine Campbell. Catherine is in County Louth. How are you doing, Catherine?
Ray, how are you?
Good, good to talk to you. Whereabouts in Louth are you?
I'm currently in Drumiskin, a little village called Drumiskin. I'm from the town of Dundalk, but living in Drumiskin now for the past 16 years, here right. Just about 8 miles south of Dundalk.
Yeah. Are you in the sunroom?
I'm in the conservatory, I am. Not much sun out there today, but tomorrow I believe it's on the way.
Right, very posh. Conservatory, yes. So who do you want to thank?
Ray, I'm so delighted to have an opportunity to say thanks. I've two causes very close to my heart over the pandemic. And the first one really is to say a huge thank you to all the staff in St. Gerard's unit in St. Oliver Plunkett residential unit in Dundalk, who have been caring for my mum suffering with dementia. So for the past 13 weeks, I'm getting emotional.
Okay.
Because they have taken care of mum. Obviously, we couldn't see her with the lockdown, but they did facilitate window visits whenever possible. But just to say thank you so much to them for the care and attention and love, that kindness they show my mum and all the other residents every day throughout the year. But, you know, to know that she was cared for and loved so well by them for the past 13 weeks has been unbelievable. It's very hard to describe actually in words what it means, but because we couldn't look after her ourselves, you know, she's in the next best place. And to know that is, and like, they've come through the pandemic, all of them safely, thank God. And it's a huge relief.
I think people can tell by the tone of your voice, Catherine, how much it means to you.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it was just, I wanted to say thanks to the staff, and we go down, you know, we go down weekly, obviously, and we bring stuff with us and that, but there's nothing like this that, you know, I was so just delighted to get the call, actually, from your researcher there, because just to say it out and to for them to realise, the staff themselves, I don't want to name any individual names, but, you know, St. Gerard's
And that's that's the first one. The second one is to do with your son.
The second one is to do with my son, who has had a rough year. John is 17 and he's had 3 surgeries since last September. So I want to say a special thank you to Dr. Conor Green, Mr. Conor Green, and all his staff in Kappa Hospital, Kappa, the National Orthopaedic Centre in Dublin. They've been phenomenal in what they have done for John and brought him to where he is today. Now, he's still getting there, but he came through 3 major surgeries.
Great.
And Conor Green and his staff, his right-hand nurse, Anna Wade, they're just unbelievable. I can't thank them enough. And just for anybody who's unfamiliar, I know CAPA would be known as a hospital for more geriatric patients, older people, but Conor Green and his team are opening up a whole new paediatric centre of excellence for orthopaedics for children in Ireland.
Okay, and so you've said...
to wish them the best of luck and continued success as well, and to thank them again.
Okay. Thanks, Catherine. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you
Thank you very much. That's the loud thank you. To Roscommon we go now. And Frances Crowe is there. Frances is an artist and she has done an amazing looking tapestry dedicated to our frontline workers. How are you, Frances?
Hi, Ray. I'm great.
Good. There it is behind you there. Yes. So tell us about it very quickly and the motifs around the lady with the mask.
So as a visual artist, I wanted to contribute something, or in the past few months, to occupy myself as well. I wanted to weave a tribute to all frontline workers. So all these words were new to us, like PPE and masks and global pandemic. So into the tapestry, I wove all these different motifs, such as hand clapping, hand washing, rubber gloves, face masks. I have the globe woven onto the face. And up at the top, I have symbols of money. I have a euro there because I think that the nurses feel they were applauded and abandoned. So this tells that story of the times we have lived through. So in the centre, you can see the nurse with tired eyes and kind of worn out after her day's work. And then the motifs around the weaving are based on Navajo designs, because the Navajo Native Americans are suffering terribly at the moment in the reservations. And of course, the Irish have been fantastic.
Hugely generous, yeah. And where will your tapestry find a home?
Well, it's going now tomorrow to the Courthouse Gallery and Studios in Ennis-Dyman in County Clare to be exhibited for the month of July. And then after that, I have no idea. I wove it for myself and for other people to view it, really.
Yeah.
As a kind of historical document of the times we are living through. Because the tapestry will last hundreds of years.
Yes. And I think it'll look amazing in a hospital foyer or something like that. It's very, very striking and well done. And a real physical thank you to the frontline workers.
Exactly.
Thanks very much, Frances. Thank you. Yvan Cahill is in Wicklow. How are you, Yvan? And your thanks is to the frontline workers as well, I believe. How are you, Yvan? It's up there. I'll get her there. Right, now, will you unmute yourself there? This is the joys of Zoom. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there you are. There you are now. There you are.
Hi.
How are you? Good to talk to you, Yvan. Yeah.
Yeah, Ray. You too, Ray. No, on behalf of the people of Wicklow, I'd like to thank everybody, both the frontline and indeed the backline workers. The people of Wicklow really rallied together on this one. They are an amazing community to begin with, but they really brought out their best side on this. There was amazing ingenuity in some of the stuff they did to help. Like, for instance, some people had a hospital in Dublin and they couldn't go up to visit them. Obviously, they couldn't close for washing or...
Yeah, you have a very bad line there, Yvan. We'll try and get a better line for you, okay? So we'll try and get a better line. And while we're doing that, we'll go over to Sligo. And I believe they have the Whelans there, Holly James and Richard Whelan. And Mum Alwyn is there in Sligo. Hello, lads. Hello, the Whelans.
Hi, Ray. Hey, Ray.
Good to talk to you. So, James, I believe happy birthday is in order.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. What age were you?
I was 11 on Monday.
Happy birthday to you. Now, so you're there with your sister Holly, who's 12, and Richard, who's 8. Good to see you all. What do you want to say?
We'd like to say thank you to our vet Ellen and all the vets at Innisfree Vets in Sligo for looking after our cat when she broke her leg during lockdown.
Right. How did Lily, now called Limpy, break her leg?
We don't know. We think something bit her, and we think it might have been a fox.
Right. Because people forget about vets who had to work through the pandemic, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So name them again. Who? Which vet do you use?
Ellen Callaghan. And all the vets in Innisfree.
Okay. And Holly, you're going into secondary school, I believe.
Yes, I am.
That's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you for that. Holly, James and Richard and Mum Alwyn doing the prompting there, all in Sligo. That's the Whelans. So we're making our way around the country. How many have we done so far? Niamh is here keeping a count. We've done 15 counties. We're not even halfway yet, so we have to speed up, they're telling me. And we have to take a quick commercial break.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're making our way around the country. We go to Leash now and to Jimmy Finn. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Hello, Ray. Good afternoon.
Sorry, you've two sick brothers.
Yes, indeed. And first of all, I want to say, like everybody, I'm listening to some amazing stories there and journeys of people sad and happy. Indeed, I'm speaking on behalf of my two younger brothers who have been through tough journeys. And Pat has been battling bone marrow cancer for about 12 months now, and he's in the intensive care unit in St. James's Hospital. And he got a transplant from my youngest brother, Christy, only about 2 weeks ago. John, on the other hand, he's had a 52-year battle since a tragic tractor accident on the family farm. And he has had multiple operations and I suppose life-saving surgeries over the 52 years, going back to the National Rehabilitation Institute in Dunleary, Dr. Wilmot. And again, I must praise the people in Dunleary, the fantastic work they do. And then, of course, he's been very much associated with the Irish Wheelchair Association and involved with them over the years, and they do amazing work as well. So our praise goes to everybody and those people in particular.
So you want to say a big thank you to them?
Absolutely. Like everybody, you know, we have nothing but praise and admiration and respect for the bravery and selflessness of everybody associated with my two brothers in particular. Okay. But for us all, everywhere, I mean, right around the country, you can hear all the stories all the time.
Yeah, great.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. And it takes COVID to really highlight everything. But I mean, it's just fantastic. And your program today is a great tribute, and it's a great tribute to RT for doing it. And by the way, John was featured on a program that Pat Butler made on him in 1969. I think it was called Ireland's Eye. And I think it was before Nationwide.
Oh, so right. I remember that. Yes, yeah, that is a long time ago. Okay, that's Jimmy. Well, okay. Wish them well for us, won't you? Your two brothers. Wish them well for
absolutely,
us.
Absolutely, of course. Yes. And best regards.
Thank you so much. Up and down is Carol McMenamin. Carol. Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Not a bother. How are you?
Good. So your mum is down in Wexford. And who do you want to say thanks to?
Okay, so my mum is Kay McMenamin, and she lives on her own in an apartment in Wexford. And 6 months before we all had to go into lockdown, my dad passed away. Oh. So my mum is in her 80s, and myself and my three sisters live all over the place, one in New Zealand, and obviously none of us could be with her, which was very difficult. But I just want to say the frontline workers everywhere are fantastic. But for me, it's all the great neighbours out there and the fantastic simple acts of kindness that have been taking place around the country. And my mother is blessed. She lives in an apartment in Wexford. She is blessed with the best neighbours in Mark and Rita, and they know who they are. They have met up. They've been cocooning almost together, even though they're neighbouring apartments. But they meet up for Sunday lunch every week. Mark cooks. It's amazing. And they have drinks on a Wednesday night. And been a lifesaver for her and for us as sisters and our families, the grandchildren, to know that she's been so well looked after. So I just want to say to all the great neighbours around the country from County Down, thank you very much.
Ah, that's lovely. That's lovely. And yeah, your story has been echoed all around the country. because people are discovering how important it is to have neighbours who will step up to the plate in times like this. Thanks very much, Carol. Stay with us. We want to do the big thank you at the end. But Anish, well, how many have we got, Niamh? I think we've 14 more to do, or maybe 15. But Anish Toshin, I'm the Free Skelton and Oakdale, and Marion Nihulawan. Gurmagat, Marion, thanks very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. I feel very privileged today because I'm in the company of 32 people from all over the country, and they're all saying thank you in a very heartfelt way to people who've helped them through the lockdown. And in a way, they're representing the rest of the country, and they're echoing stories that have happened to a lot of people over the last 3 months. So we thank them for it. And I'm looking at all their faces there. We've conservatories and kitchens and curtains there, and Carol, all sorts of things. And now we go to Cork and Donegal, and we say hello to Teresa and Claire. How are you, Teresa?
Yeah, Don't let, we can't
actually hear you, Ray. Claire is unmuted there. I can't hear you.
Okay. Oh, Kerry's unmuted, is it? That he's creating hassle for us, is he? I'll do that. There you go, you do that. Can you hear me, Cork?
I can, Ray.
You can, there you are. So we spoke last Friday, so just to reiterate what you said then, your daughter Emily, who's studying nursing in Edinburgh, came home, couldn't go back. She got a job in a nursing home locally. And she's been invaluable to you because you broke your foot dancing around the place celebrating your other daughter's final exams. So that's all factually correct, isn't it, Teresa?
Yes.
Yeah. So will you just say on behalf of everybody in Cork, thank you to the frontline workers for us, please.
Yeah, thank you to everyone on the front line. Absolutely amazing watching all the stories on the television. It's absolutely fantastic what they're doing, you know. Yeah. So Emily's working today. Hi, Emily. And thank you all again.
Okay. Stay with us there, Teresa. We're streaming this on rte.ie/Ray, so you can see all the various... not a lot of wallpaper, actually. Not a lot of wallpaper. Mostly magnolia paint, to be honest. A lot of magnolia paint going on. We go up to Donegal and to Claire O'Donnell. How are you doing, Claire?
Good, thanks, yeah.
And you have a very special story because I suppose we've heard from Siobhan and her mother's death, but it's the circle of life has come into sharp focus during the lockdown. And you gave birth to little baby Sarah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, on the 22nd of April. Yeah.
Right. And we read out your email, I think, yesterday or the day before. So you were in the National Maternity Hospital for how long?
10 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. I went in on the 15th of February. Yeah, before everything started, and then lockdown happened while I was there. So I didn't really know the world that I was coming out to at all.
Yeah, things had changed quite considerably. Yes. Yeah. So Sarah is officially, I suppose, a COVID baby.
Yeah.
You'll have stories to tell her when she grows up. So you were very much on your own in there. Was there two E in the ward? Or?
There was always four there. They kind of tried to keep it as long term. But yeah, myself and a woman, Anne McLaughlin from Galway, she arrived the same day as me. And we spent 7 weeks together in the ward. Yeah. So we were so lucky that we had each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And the staff were a huge part of your daily life, obviously.
Yeah. And they became,
I was just about to say, they became like family. So say thank you to your second family then.
So just to all the girls, yeah, they kept us going every day. We couldn't see our husbands or our children, and they just did so much for us. So thanks a million, especially to Unit 3, the antenatal ward there in the National Maternity Hospital. And then the ladies in the neonatal in Letterkenny who looked after Sarah then for 4 weeks after she was born.
Okay.
We were very lucky, yeah, to have the people we had looking after us, yeah.
And how is little Sarah?
Oh, she's flying, yeah. She's actually, I thought she might be able to make an appearance, but she's roaring the house down. She had her first vaccinations today. So she's
poor little thing. And we better say hello to her two older brothers then as well, Charlie and Connor.
Yeah, they keep popping their heads in, checking on everybody. Yeah.
Right, yo. Okay, Claire in Donegal, thanks so much. Mind yourself
and
the family.
You.
See you. Bye. Bye. Across the way, we go to Antrim now. And Alan Hearn is there in Antrim. How are you doing, Alan, who's been on the Zoom call since 2 o'clock? did you have a cup of tea in the meantime, Alan?
I didn't. I have another one here.
Yeah. Now, a theme that's come up with a lot of people is volunteerism. and how lucky we are to have volunteers at a time like this. You're the regional director of the Samaritans in Northern Ireland.
That's correct.
So mm-hmm. Who would you like to thank?
Well, I'd like to thank all our volunteers right across Ireland. We have 21 branches. And about 3 months ago, when the pandemic broke, we weren't sure exactly what we were going to be facing. Many of our volunteers were subsequently self-isolated, and that meant our numbers were down. But typically, the organization that we are, all the other volunteers have rallied together and to make sure that our 116, 123 helpline has been staffed and effectively able to provide the emotional support that we've always done. So it was a huge effort, and all the branches. I've been a volunteer for 20 years, and I'm as proud of being a volunteer when I first became one as I am today, particularly over the last 3 months when we have stepped up to the plate hugely.
Yeah.
And they are absolutely wonderful volunteers, really are. And I could also want to thank our backup staff in Ushers Quay in Dublin who have helped us and behind things. And to get their support as well. It's okay. Very important.
And can we thank the people who work for the Samaritans through you for all the support they've given us over the years, but particularly in the last 3 months, because we know that people have found that the lockdown has affected their mental health and people have been stressed and they needed to turn to organisations like yours. So thank you very much.
That's very kind of you, right? Thank you.
116-123. Thanks, Alan. Right. And similarly, Lorraine Teven is up in Cavan.
Hi, Ray. How are you keeping?
Good. Good to talk to you, Lorraine. You're a photographer. You've been taking pictures and recording this for posterity.
Yeah, I work as a freelance photographer for the National Press in the Cavan area. So I've been out and about taking photographs and trying to get a bit of positivity out there.
Yeah.
Trying to take any doom and gloom. So we've been having some beautiful sunsets and we've been having some people celebrating birthdays over 100. So some lovely photographs and lovely people to meet.
Great.
Over the last few weeks.
And your thank you is in the world of mental health as well.
Yeah, my thank you is to a lady called Christine Wynn and all her volunteers in Cavan. They run a charity called SOSAD, which stands for Save Our Sons and Daughters. And they do a lot of work in the mental health area. They raise awareness of suicide. They try and break the stigma of suicide. And they provide support and direction to people who are considering committing suicide and also those who have been bereaved by a suicide.
Okay. And they've been unfortunately busy throughout the lockdown. So we say thanks very much to Christine Wynn and everybody in SOSAD. And Lorraine, thanks to you. And stay with us because we'll have all 32 county thank you at the end of the programme. Carol Caffrey is up in Armagh. Hi, Carol.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Now, you have your list there, so go with it then. You have the lovely list that you sent in to us.
The list?
Yeah, well, I do it for you. GA clubs, rugby club, girl guide, swimming clubs.
Yes.
Yeah, go on.
Basically, our organisation, we're from Lurganary Community Aid, and it started off as Clan Erin GA Club. And we held a public meeting, and basically all local organisations, lots and lots of them came along, everything from the girl guides to rugby club to swimming clubs, the principals of local schools, and we formed one big organisation to look after all the elderly, the vulnerable families and everything in the area. So it has been absolutely fantastic, and the whole community went in behind it. We had local singers taking to Facebook and doing Facebook Live to raise money. We had open water swimmers that purchased swimming pools and did tethered swims and swam the length of Loch Ness in their back gardens. And basically everybody put their shoulder to the wheel to look after the less fortunate in the Lurgan area. So it's just been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, isn't that lovely the way the community get together at times like this? And again,
it really is. It's heartwarming.
And there are stories like that from all over the country. So thanks for highlighting that, Carol. That's Carol up in Armagh. Billy Gray is in County Kildare. And we have to fly through these if we're going to get to all 32 counties before the end of the programme. We should have extended the programme, but we didn't have a chat with Mary Wilson about that. Hello, Billy. Hello, Billy. Come in, Kildare.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, Ray, how are things?
Good.
Not too bad.
Did I play rugby with a relation of yours? No.
You did, yeah.
No, he's gone. Billy's gone.
Would have been tough fights from there, all right. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello.
You're back there. You're back, Billy. Yeah. Whereabouts in Kildare are you?
Fecullen Rathangan.
Right. And who do you want to say thank you to?
That's where we are. Adeline.
No, I tell you what, you stay where you are, Billy. We'll get back to you because that's not a good line. And we go over to Bill Flanagan, who's in Leitrim. How are you doing, Bill?
All right.
Good to talk to you. So you're a Kildare man as well, living in Leitrim.
I am, yes. And I feel like an imposter, like the lady in Galway, because I'm only living here for 5 years. But at the same time, I feel honoured that I was invited to speak on behalf of Leitrim.
Yeah. And you're a bachelor living alone?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, and so I'd imagine you had to draw on people in your community during the last 3 months.
Absolutely, yes. And my special thanks is to Paula and Barry in St. Mary's GAA Club here in Carrick-on-Shannon, who did all my shopping, etc., for the period I was cocooned. As you probably know, Leitrim has the lowest number of cases here, and I have a special thanks for all the people of Leitrim who did everything necessary to achieve this.
Yeah. How are you now? Are you getting out and about?
Oh, yes, I'm out gardening and working around the house and doing some office work, so very active.
Right. Is this your first time on a Zoom call? Bill.
It is, yes. Niamh introduced me yesterday.
Yeah, your life will never be the same now, Bill. You'll be zooming here, there and everywhere.
I hope I won't get hooked on it.
Okay. Right, thanks for that. That's Bill Flanagan in Leitrim. Michael Ryan is in Tipperary. How are you doing, Michael? Good to talk to you. See, you can unmute him there. See, if you just go into him there. There you go. If you just unmute yourself there, Michael, the man. How are you? Do you know what's happening? We've probably been on so long that the line is degenerating. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a commercial break and see if we can get all this sorted. And then we'll finish out the rest of the programme and hopefully get to the remaining of the counties that we haven't got so far. Now, it was always going to be this way. We started off and we had lovely chats and it was always going to be a sprint to the finish. So Westmeath we go to now, and Regina Bushell. How are you doing, Regina?
How are you doing, Ray? How are you?
Good
and hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Great program. Really,
oh, yeah. Thank you. Isn't it lovely to be part of this? You can see all the people from all over the country.
Yeah.
I think you get Cushion of the Program Award for that cushion behind you there. Well done on that. three pheasants flying up a cushion. Okay, who do you want to say thank you to?
Well, a couple of people. First of all, the whole All-Ireland Drama Festival community in Athlone. I'm based in Athlone here myself in County Westmeath, but we have 36 festivals that take place right across the country and should have taken place this year. The All-Ireland Drama Festival is the premier, if you like, of the three-act festivals in Athlone. Or from and the 9 best players around the country get to Athlone.
Yes.
The whole thing was cancelled this year.
Right.
First time since the foot and mouth disease also closed it as well. So they have been doing things online and communicating with each other, and it's great. They contribute, I suppose, greatly to their local communities, providing drama and everything else. And we're hoping they'll all get up going again.
Great.
So I just wanted to say hello to all of them, thank them for all of their cooperation when things were cancelled. We were also sad for all of the rehearsals that had gone in and all those plays that couldn't take place all around the country. And we're hoping that the three acts, the one acts, the combines, the opens will all take place again next year, please God, with everything going well.
I'm sure they
the
will.
The other thing, people I wanted to say hello to and say a big thank you to was the whole early years services in Ireland. That is all of the people who provide full day care, preschools, out of school care, after school care to everybody. As we know, the country was closed down on the 12th of March. And like for us, it was as providers, we were told we had to close without any notice. And since then, all of those providers, a majority of them, have been doing such wonderful things online for all of the children that were in their care. Their staff got all involved in doing wonderful telling stories and visits to farms and all sorts of things for the children to keep that contact there with the families during that time.
Yeah.
And we're all looking forward. I think there is a huge effort going in for the full day care providers to reopen on the 29th.
Great.
And I would just like to say well done to all of them. I know that there has been huge challenges.
Yes.
I know the DCYA have worked very, very hard. We're all working so hard. So we're hoping to open our doors. And can I please appeal to everybody to go back to your childcare for the services as well, because it's only through providers and everybody else going back to them that they'll be sustainable in the smallest communities to the biggest communities.
And I think people appreciate them more than ever now, and there are challenges, and we wish everybody good luck in getting across those challenges.
Especially to the children, they have been fantastic.
Okay.
The children have really, I mean, it has been a huge stress for them to be cocooned with their parents and grandparents and whoever they happen to be cocooned with, but they've done really well. And we're looking forward to seeing them all again right across the country back at their early years services.
Thanks, Regina in Westmead. We go to Longford now, I think neighbouring county, and Michelle Shocknessy is there.
All right.
Hi, Michelle.
I know we're running out of time, so yeah. I'll be fast.
Go on, then.
I'm going to go for it because I'm going to be knocked off. I know, and Longford have done fantastic work. But before we run out of time, I want to do a big call out to the farmers, to the long, to the cattle dealers, to the vets, to the AIs, to the mark managers, Charlotte Carney, PJ Reynolds, Lily Trott, who have opened up the marts again. Difficult times. Traditional marts, farmers standing around that ring now are online bidding. Huge big call out to the farmers. Longford, there are so many people who have done so many silent acts of kindness over the past number of months. They didn't do it for the limelight. They didn't do it for thanks or recognition. So I'm going to thank them now. By including some, I'm going to exclude others. So I'm just going to go for it.
Very quickly.
Longford Family Resource Centre, the Irish Wheelchair Association, the Midlands Polish Community, Meals on Wheels, Lush na Grainne, the Community Gardaí, Ompost, Mary King, Pádraig McNamara and Granard. Pat the Baker kept his workforce working all through the nights in Granard to keep Ireland's private bread.
Well done, Pat the Baker.
Well done. The GEA, Mullinyachta, Killoog, Abilara, Granard, our parish priest, Father Simon Cadham. He has given us a voice in many silent houses in Ireland, and he's provided company and companionship with his webcam masses. So Longford have been amazing, and my Highland cattle have kept me sane while I've worked from home on the family farm. So big hello.
You're brilliant, Molly. Thank you very much. Michelle Shocknessy, a force of nature there in Longford. Molly Goff is down in Waterford. Molly, you're our youngest Zoom caller today.
I am, 18.
The Sligo kids were. You're right. You're our second youngest. Second youngest. Yes. I suppose Tess was the youngest, or Sarah was the youngest. Okay, so you want, and this is important, you want to thank who?
Well, my parents, first of all. They're running a pub here in Dungarvan, and we're actually reopening now on Monday with the food. So I want to thank them. They were so positive throughout everything. They had to keep going, and our doors were shut for, 13, 14 weeks. So that was very difficult. I was meant to be doing my leaving cert as well. So I want to thank all my teachers. They were just so, so, so supportive. They were reaching out, and obviously not having the leaving cert, it's a big shock. But now we've nothing we can do now.
No.
And also to all the frontline workers, my granddad's in a hospital here in Dungarvan, and he has dementia. So they were taking care of him over this and with the last 2 years. And my first cousin in Capquin was in a farming accident a month ago yesterday, and you might have seen it on the Irish Times. And he was in the Mater in Dublin, and they took very good care of him.
Gosh.
So just big thanks to my parents.
How is he now, Molly?
He's after pulling through, thank God.
Great.
And he's been moved to Cork. So there was a big article on the Irish Times a few weeks ago about him. So
okay.
If you want to give it a read, Glyn O'Connor. So
Glyn
big
O'Connor.
Shout out to
him. Yeah. So Molly, I suppose you're saying to all the parents around the country who got their Leaving Cert students through this ordeal, thank you.
Definitely. And my brother was junior cert as well, so my parents had a lot to cope with with the cancellations of both and then the pub being closed. So to my parents, my friends, my teachers and all the frontline staff, and to Brenda O'Donoghue as well.
Right, see you, Molly.
Done.
Bye. That's Molly Goff there. Rosemary Brown, you're in Limerick. Hello, Rosemary. Hello, Rosemary. No, we don't have Rosemary there.
Ray, how are you doing?
Oh, there you are. Rosemary.
I was otherwise distracted there for a minute. How rude of me.
You're doing the opposite thing now. We don't have a lot of time. So you're thanking your children.
I am.
Go for it.
So I'm basically thanking them that they didn't kill each other while we were in lockdown because they were in close quarters, you know.
Yeah.
And they were doing their homework and whatever, you know, so it was good. And we live out in the countryside, so they had loads of place to roam, but that wasn't necessarily keeping them happy either.
So thanks to all the children all over the country. I think that's been echoed around, that they've done really well and they've got through it. And I think they helped us adults as well with their good humour.
They did indeed, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
And a big shout out to my mother as well, just quickly. She's 81 and she's been cocooning with my dad, who's nearly 88. And she's been an absolute trooper. She's a very social creature and she wasn't happy being locked up, but she always did it with a smile on her face.
Okay.
So.
Thank you very much. That's Rosemary in Limerick. Trudy in Fermanagh. Trudy, you've 30 seconds. So there you go. And then we'll get to Fred in Kilkenny. And I think we've touched on... Valerie as well. Yes. Okay. So if you get Trudy and Valerie up, I'll speak to them both. How are you doing, Trudy?
Just want to say thank you to our local community for everything. We run a residential home here and we've been overwhelmed with the warmth of human nature. We've connected so much more with our local surrounding community than we've ever done before. And we've got so many wonderful gifts of words and kindness. It's just been brilliant.
Okay.
And thank you to all our staff, really, and friends and family.
So that's Colorado Private Residential Home up there in Fermanagh. That's Trudy saying thanks to the local community for everything they did. Valerie is in Clare. How are you doing, Valerie?
Hello, how are you?
Good to talk to you. Sorry, we're running out of time, Valerie.
That's okay. I'll try to speak as fast as possible.
Yeah.
The Midwest Hospital campaign was making scrubs for the local hospitals and the homes.
Yes.
And Hilary Tong, who's here beside me, was the person who came up with the idea. So well done,
Hilary.
As quickly as possible, Ray, I just want to say thank you to all the people who volunteered with this group. We had 46 sewers. We had the Doolin Motorbike Club that delivered to and from everybody who was sewing. We had a quiz. We had a GoFundMe page. And we delivered over 300 scrubs and 1,000 face masks to all the nursing homes in Clare. So we're very proud of ourselves.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you. And thanks for being on today. Fred is in Stonyford in Kilkenny. How are you doing, Fred?
How are you doing, Ray?
You've had a tough time since we last spoke at the Operation Transformation run.
Yeah, both my parents became ill with COVID in very early stages. As a matter of fact, all our family went down with it. But I want to say a huge thanks to the nurses, staff and doctors at St. Luke's Hospital, especially Dr. Rory McGovern. Also, St. Luke's Hospital lost two members of their support staff during this. So to them, you know, we're totally indebted to everything they've done. When my parents left St. Luke's, they actually went on to Castlecomer District Hospital, which was a step-down facility. So to the management, nurses and the care staff there, I express a huge debt of gratitude. We at Carers coming in to attend my parents because, as I said, they're both elderly and unwell. That was before they went to hospital and when they came home. To them, I will have a huge, huge indebtedness. Every morning, afternoon and night time, we had them to our public health nurse. And I suppose the Kilkenny man deserves an awful lot of credit for this is Tony Houlihan. The amount of work he has put into it, along with, you know, NFET and, you know, yes. I suppose Leo and Simon and the gang that we had in the early stages.
And condolence to you, Fred, because your mum passed away last week. It wasn't from COVID-19.
Thankfully, she wasn't a statistic of the whole COVID. She passed away from underlying conditions. She had a lot of problems before it, but thankfully, look, she's gone on to peace now and she's in a better place.
Okay. Are you reopening on Monday or what's the story?
We were planning on reopening Monday, but Ray, I think we'll leave it go for another couple of weeks. Look, my father's here with me at the moment. He's quite sick as well, so I'll spend that extra time with him.
Okay, well, that's important. That's important.
Just said a COVID funeral was a very special funeral that we had. You know, we didn't have the huge crowds that you'd have passing through your house, you know, which it's great to get comfort from people like that. But during this, we had a very special family time. Okay. And I just want to say,
Fred, I'd love to talk to you when we get to the other side because, you know, we were down in Stonyford, so we'll get a chance to do that when all of this is over. So we've gone to all 32 counties, and before we leave to go to Mary Wilson, we've unmuted everybody, I think. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do this very quickly. There we go. unmute. There you go. So if you could all say thank you together, it would be brilliant. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Thank you, everybody.
There you go. That's the All-Ireland thank you there on Zoom. There you go. And thank you to all our 32 participants. Apologies about being late. Mary Wilson's on the way. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.